Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you'd like to be a guest, have any questions or a show idea, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com and check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon. Well, tonight I have such an incredible show planned. On the line, I have Katha Cato from the Queens World Film Festival. Katha earned a BA from California Polytechnic University in Pomona, an MFA from the University of Oregon, and is a graduate of the Columbia University Graduate School of Business Executive Education Program. In the 80s, she moved to New York with her theater company, Foreplay Improvised Theater, and pioneered the improvisational Herald format, the long form, into the New York improv comedy scene. Katha won the MAC Award, Manhattan Association of Cabarets, for Best Comedy, and two Backstage Magazine Bistro Awards for Best Director and Best Comedy at the New York Post. Bill Envolino named her one of the year's most exciting improvisers. Katha has spent over 30 years developing youth and bringing people together via theater, arts, film, and video. Katha, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you. And, you know, thank you for reading that. For me, the way things are going right now, it's good to remember some of the good stuff. Thank you.
You are welcome. And it's, your background, your bio is so impressive, and I really wanted to bring you on the show tonight to really tell my listeners how you got started, all about the Queens World Film Festival and your journey that's been just so inspirational.
Well, I surely appreciate it. And when you take a look at where I'm from, I was born in Yuma, Arizona, and then I was raised in a little town called Brawley, California, very, very close to the Mexicali border. The road that we lived on was called Julia Road, and it ended before it got to our house. And I remember very clearly laying on the back of a horse and looking up at the moon and thinking, God, that's a big moon. You know, it's gorgeous. And then it hit me. People all over the world are looking at that moon. You don't have to stay where you are. You can go somewhere else on that planet, and you'll look up, and there's the moon. And it really kind of inspired me that I can go anywhere that I want to go. I can go and do whatever I want to do. You know, there's limitations to that. New York is a tough town, and all sorts of things get in your way. But I remember very clearly when it hit me, people in New York are looking at that same moon. I could go to New York and see the moon.
Absolutely. And I think that's such an incredible message, that everyone has their dreams and their passions, and no matter where you are or what you're going through, that motivation, that inspiration, that gut instinct that's in all of us that says, let's go for our dreams, let's chase them and give it a chance, is so important, because I feel it gives us hope and it gives us this motivation to move forward and to find peace in our lives. How was it for you finding all this? How was this journey for you?
Well, you know, I'm not an easy go. I have a background in all sorts of equestrian events, and we lived quite close to where the rodeo was, and my dad did some rodeoing, and my mom trained some rodeo queens, and 8 seconds is all you got to stay on that bronco, that horse. And some of those horses are an easy go, and some of them aren't an easy go, and I would not say I'm an easy go. I don't take no very lightly. I have big ideas, and I have the energy and the excitement to talk other people into doing them. And I like to describe myself as kind of like a broccoli. You know, I'm not your go-to snack, but I am good for you.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I think it's, especially in this industry, in this business, there are so many no's. And you have to build up this sort of emotional armor to know that it's okay people say no. That doesn't mean you're not on the right path. That, you know, should strengthen you even more and have you work at your craft harder. Because this business, unfortunately, there's a lot of no's before you get that yes.
Right. And I think that a competitive background with the horses and stuff, you know, we showed horses every single weekend. And I'm not kidding. Every weekend we would go to a horse show somewhere or something. And some weekends you come home with hardware and there's a lot of blue ribbons, and some weekends you don't. It just wasn't your guy. The judge just didn't, you just weren't what they were looking for that day. And, you know, it's part of it. It's a very noisy world. You got to find where you fit. And if you're out there trying lots of things, the percentage of things that aren't going to go well is higher than if you didn't try anything. So sometimes you have to remember, these are exactly the right problems a person who's trying to do a lot of things would have. And, you know, you got to go walk around the block, find your group of people that believe in you, and keep pushing.
Yes. Having that important, that strong security network, that community, that group of friends or colleagues or peers or family that support you, that give you that motivation to say, keep on going, don't give up, keep your head up and keep putting one foot in forward in front of the other is so important.
It really is, and I think it's hard to find your tribe, and we get a little bit isolated. I'm super, super lucky that every time I've done big things, I've had a group of people around me that it just was magical, like how did we do that? And now, you know, we're all in our 60s and we still stay in touch, and sometimes people will say to me, you know, that show that we did, that 5 years that we were together, that we were doing that thing, that was like that was so magical. And I've been very, very lucky to attract super great, interesting, quirky, crazy people. And we've done some crazy, quirky, fun, crazy things, crazy. Like right now, you know, the festival was supposed to have opened last night. And so we went virtual, we went online. And, you know, my husband and I are both older, so we're not as digitally adept as probably a lot of people who are listening. So it was quite challenging for us. But we did it. We did it. And we're going to be loading a whole bunch more of the blocks up tonight. And people all over the world can watch these films. That's crazy to think that you can do that. That's crazy.
And it's so amazing because I can imagine at first the disappointment or the shock when this whole coronavirus hit and all these different plans and events and big things started being canceled or postponed. But I think it just shows a lot about your resilience and your persistence to say, okay, we have to find a way, and to put this live stream, to put this online. I think it's so important to also, because everybody is home. Everybody's kind of stuck indoors at this time. So what an incredible time, too, to provide this for those that are home, for those that might be upset or fearful, that really that you're reaching out and helping the community through your film festival.
And, you know, when you watch these films, you know that people all over the world are watching them at the same time, and so we're still together. And you have to remember that there's 220 films and there's 260 people that are like, our point people on those films. And that is a ripple effect in 32 nations for 266 people to know that there's a group in Queens that are going to make sure their films are seen and are going to do everything they can. And they start to see the stuff online. They hear this radio show and they start to see that's a major ripple effect of 266 people. We provided them their spirit with something to feel good about, to talk to their network about and say, look what's happening. This is incredible.
Yes, absolutely. What type of films are in this festival? What are type of things that viewers can be looking forward to?
Well, we have, there are 220 films, and we're going to screen about 200 of them because 20 of the filmmakers, for a variety of reasons, have decided not to go virtual. Either they're on the verge of a distribution deal, or they're in the middle of a rewrite and they're reshooting, all sorts of different reasons. They just don't want to go online. So the 200 films are grouped in thematic blocks. Like, we have a block called Courageous Women, and it's two films, a short called Sisterhood and another one called A Rabbit's House. Then we also have a block called Bruised and Healing, and that's got six films about reminding us that sometimes time doesn't heal all wounds. But we've also got Family Friendly, and we've also got Queen's Corner. So there's a variety of films, and the feeling, the idea behind the way we curate it is when you go to an indie festival, a lot of times you don't really know what to see, and, you know, you don't really know because there's no familiar faces, there's no familiar directors, and so, like, some of the films are 18 minutes, and what does that mean? So by putting them together in these provocative names, you're going to find something that speaks to you. And there are 60 blocks of films. They're anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. There are 32 nations represented, so some of the films have subtitles. But you'll be okay. It'll be okay. You can read it, I promise. And you can see some pretty heavy stuff, but we've also got some great, great comedies, some very fun stuff. We have LGBTQ-themed films. We have a block called WTF, You've Been Warned, and that's a group of films that are just crazy. And so there's something there for everybody, and it's free. At a different time, perhaps we would have gone a different route, but we just felt like we just need to do this, we just need to get it up, we needed people to be able to see it, so... At discover.tv, you do have to sign up. You have to become a member. And that's okay. You have to put your information in there and your birthday. And it's to really cut down on cyberbullying and to make sure that everybody is a proper age to be watching these films, et cetera, because indie films are not rated. And so, you know, these are pretty edgy, very personal stories. There's no way to download them. There's no way to steal anybody's data. And everything is going to come down on the last day of the festival, which is the 29th.
Wow. So people can watch them at different times, or do they have
yep.
to watch them at their
you
own
can,
leisure? What is that?
You can watch at your own leisure, and you can watch a block over again. We watched opening night ourselves twice last night, one so that I could cry all the way through it, and the second time so I could just be so joyous and laugh all the way through it.
Wow. How long has it taken you to put this together? Because it seems really a lot of work and a lot of different moving parts.
Yes, you're quite right. So since it's our 10th year, on July 1st, I really said, okay, I'm going at this hard, and we made some changes so that I wasn't working so much and that Preston was working more, et cetera, and I really drilled down, and we had some just incredible things that were going to be happening, and, you know, submissions open in June, and we had almost 800 films come in, and Press and his team, at least two people had to see every single film, and then they argued about them almost every weekend over here. And then they started curating and started putting things together and kind of moving things around and thinking this is a good match and this is a good match. And then we announced, I think it was the second week of January, Then we had our kickoff party February 7th, where all the filmmakers, the local filmmakers, got together. It's a potluck, and we always start that way. It, you know, when you walk in the door with food, you always feel better than walking in and kind of like, you know, please like me and, you know, come watch my film. And it's just, it creates a different kind of vibe. Then on March 7th, we did our trailer party, which is where we screened 70 trailers back to back. And we had a lot of sponsors there so they could all meet the filmmakers. And by then, they all knew what blocks they were in, and they'd already met each other back in February. We were supposed to do a press conference on the 16th, and that got canceled, and that's when I knew we were in trouble. No, actually, I knew on the 13th. MOMI and both California Astoria Studios and Museum of the Moving Image both decided to definitely close. And we took the weekend off, and then Monday morning, the 16th, this week, we said, all right, we're going virtual, and started talking to the right people, and we opened last night on time. Opening night was supposed to be at 7 o'clock at the Museum of the Moving Image, and it was at 7 o'clock. Oh, God, it was so cool to hear from people. And a guy from Saudi Arabia called us this morning telling us that when he had heard that the festival was canceled, he knew his film would never be seen and that his window into the world had closed. And he feels that this team, Discover.tv and the other filmmakers, that we're the heroes. And, we're not. We're just button pushers. He said he just can't believe it, that he's going to be able to tell people to see his film.
Wow. Well, you know, I think in this business, it's always the show must go on. We never know what's going to be thrown at us, but the show must always go on.
That's why I feel schools should really be, like, based on the theater hierarchy and department and format, and they should have to do elementary schools should have to produce, like, a show every 3 months. Because it's 8 o'clock Friday. You go up there, you deliver. That's it.
Yes.
And then if you don't, you take notes and you get in early on Saturday and you fix it. And then 8 o'clock Saturday night, you deliver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep everybody on their toes, and also keep them present in the moment to keep moving forward and to keep, you know, paying attention and also working on their craft. So if someone wants to submit next year, or what is that like? Is there still an open process? Is it still going to be the same?
So you can sign up on Film Freeway. It's the industry standard for submissions. And you submit your film. Filmmakers make a profile there, and they upload all their information. And then there's about 10,000 festivals. I'm not kidding. Maybe even more. And you know, they can shop, and they should look for the festival that screens their kind of work. And you have to understand that if Tribeca or these big festivals get 40,000 submissions, I'm sorry, 14,000 submissions, then, you know, your film's probably not going to be seen by the programmer. And so look around for a festival that has a theme that suits your film, that has a history of screening the type of film that you have. Look at the reviews. Social media, listen, the three buttons and you can find everything you need to know. And do your research and find the perfect place to screen your film and then go at it. If they give you an opportunity and they're going to put it in a theater and they're going to do all that, carry the insurance, sell those tickets, get people there, then go at it. Get everything you can out of that experience. Go there. If you have to walk or hitchhike, go to the festival. See the other films. Talk to the other filmmakers. Get everything you can out of that.
Yes. It's so important to go to also to network, to speak to people, because you never know. I always find every door opens. One door opens, another door opens, another door opens. And it's just meeting people, connecting, especially with the same passion that you have. It's so powerful and intriguing to meet all these different people that have the same passion and interest that you do.
Yes, I mean, that's where they're going to be. You know, that's where you're going to find your people. That's where you're going to find your tribe. So go for it.
Wow. So what would you say to someone who's listening to this show, who's always wanted to do their own film, that's always been their dream, but they just don't know where to start, they don't know what to do, and it just seems too overwhelming for them?
Well, you know, Preston just came in, and that is really a conversation for him. Like, I like to say that I'm the noise and he's the talent. I'm the messenger, he's the message. But he's really the one that, you know, he teaches filmmaking at the Digital Film Academy. He curates the whole festival. So I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Donald Preston Cato.
Great.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad you had a wonderful time with Katha.
Yes,
which is
she's
what
amazing.
We all do.
Yes. Well, I was just asking her, what would you say to our listeners that if someone's listening and they've always wanted to do their own film, they've always had a dream, but they just don't know how to do it. They feel overwhelmed. They feel like they don't know where to begin. What would be your advice to them?
Well, the advice is to simply pick up a camera. And in this case, you have just all of us have one. It's called a phone. And make sure that when you make your movie, you turn it horizontal, because movies are horizontal, not vertical. And you start taking movies of things that are in front of you. And think about how one particular shot relates to another shot. So, for example, if you're walking down a street and you take a shot of just the street and everything, like a wide shot, and you progress along, and then you stop taking a picture, and then you see something in a front yard that looks kind of interesting, you shoot that. And you want to shoot for at least 5 to 7 seconds. And maybe then right next to that, there's something interesting happening. Say there's a tree next to you. You take a picture of that. Maybe you walk a little bit more. Then there's a car. And it's got an interesting color, or maybe it's really old. So you might take a movie of that for a few seconds, you know, up 7 seconds or so. And then you come along to something else you see on the sidewalk. And as you walk down the street, and then you may turn around and look back up the street and take a picture. Well, suddenly
Wow.
You put all those together and you have a little movie. And it's a travelogue. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
And you can change it. You can start. You can add music. You can start with that long shot. Maybe it's an entire 8 seconds, and everything else is fast, fast, fast. And then something slow. And then you turn around and you look, and that's it. And it's like a little journey. So the idea is you just have to understand that it's just one foot in front of another. It's one picture in front of another. And does picture one, picture two, picture three equal something interesting? And that's how you start. You just have to pick it up, take little movies of things, and just let it go. And then put them together and see what, and watch it and go, oh, that's interesting. And then you'll feel something. The idea with movies, in the bottom line, is movies that we all go to, whether it's a popcorn film, or something maybe a little more drama or a romance or whatever it might be. Ultimately, we go to experience emotion. That's what draws mm-hmm. us into the theater, is we want to go see people in situations, whatever they might be, and we want to feel the emotions. And that's everything. That's the image, the acting, the music, or no music. That's why we go, to have an emotional experience. Laugh,
yes,
cry.
And I think as you were saying, it's just starting somewhere, because I think the anticipation seems to prevent people as a barrier before starting. And it's just go ahead and do it and not be judgmental of yourself and too hard on yourself. Just go out there and find the beauty of what is out there, because
yeah,
everything
whatever.
Is art.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What means something to you?
you know, it means something to you. And usually what you're right, what holds us back is that, you know, it doesn't look like Avengers. Or doesn't look like
what if it's not good.
Yeah, what if it's not good? But, you know, it everybody has to start someplace and maybe you'll figure something out. There's Christopher Nolan, who made Dunkirk, and he made the Batman, The Dark Knight. He never went to school. He never studied filmmaking anywhere. He just picked up a camera and started making pictures. And so he's a self-taught individual. And look where he is.
Yeah.
He's on top of the
heap. And so many times now, I'm finding in so many films, really what's attracting the audience, the crowds, are people's stories, films that really, you know, are different but have a personal meaning, that have a struggle in them. So I think even times sometimes people think, well, what's interesting about me? What do I have to share? To really step back and say, you have a lot to share. People really want to know. They want to be able to relate to you because we all have things that we need to relate to, that we want to move forward, that we want to learn, we want to laugh, we want to empathize, we want to cry.
Yes.
We want to feel like we're not alone in this world.
Well, that's exactly right. And so we all have basic emotions. Doesn't matter what race you are, what nationality you are, what faith you may have or no faith. We all have we all have the same emotions. We all have feelings. and don't forget, villains never believe that they're a villain. They just have to have it their way. So they're just trying to keep control of their world, and their world keeps getting bigger. And so what's an obstacle that's in the way of your young or new filmmaker thinking about? Think of a character.
Characters, or sometimes money, that people feel like they just don't know where to begin.
Well, they begin with, everybody has a phone. That's why I go back to where we were in the beginning. We all have a phone. Turn it sideways, shoot horizontal, and start making short little films.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's why we're fascinated with cat videos. The whole planet loves cat videos. You know, and
yes.
One of the very first films ever made was a cat video. And that,
it's
amazing. Before the turn of the century, a cat video.
Yes.
Because we're,
just needs to get out there and to give it a try. We're at the end of the show. And again, could you please say again where my listeners can watch the films, can find you, can have updates or submit their ideas?
Okay, well, there are three locations. So our Queens World Film Festival can be seen by going to discovered.tv. And log in like you would to any social media, like Facebook or anything else. You have to put in your birth date and an email. And the reason is that the law, and the law is there to protect bullying, cyberbullying, people from putting up obscene material, so it can be traced. So that's just it's not trying to get you on an email list. So like anything, that's discovered.tv. Now, that's where the films will be. The blocks will be up until the 29th. Now, you can find out what the movies are and where the blocks are if you go to queensworldfilmfestival.com. And you can troll around on the website, and you can see all of this year's films and what blocks they're in and the names of the films and the blocks. And then you can go, and we will put as many of those up as we possibly can. We had 61. We'll probably be very close to that. And then if you want more information about us, I believe there's a Facebook page for the Queens World Film Festival. You can go there. And I don't even know if we have a Twitter account. I think we do. But the more importantly, Facebook. There's a Facebook page. There's the website for the film festival. And it has over... It has all the films we've screened for the last 10 years. About 1,300 films are in that film festival database.
Great.
And there's everything from this year you can see on discovered.tv. And it's free.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you
for all your support,
everyone.
Thank everybody out there.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
And
God bless.
And we'll see you in the movies.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.